Good morning, Edward Christian Church. How are we doing this morning?
Great.
Glad to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. If you notice, there's a few people missing on stage. Pastor Dave is in Bun with the Emmaus Walk, and I'm not sure where everybody else is, but I'm sure it's important. So, but we're going to try and hold things down while they're away. So we're going to get started with a word of prayer this morning. If y'all would stand with me. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the time and opportunity it is to be in your house, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for opportunities, Lord. Opportunities for you to show yourself strong in our lives. And God, we just ask you to do that this morning. As we come to your house, Lord God, to worship and to draw close unto you, Father, we ask that your presence would minister into each and every one of us. Supply the need that we stand in need of, Lord God. And minister in such a powerful way, Lord God, that we can't help resist but testify, Lord God, what you've done in our lives and in this house this morning, Lord. And we thank you for everything that's said and done. And Father, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And in Christ Jesus' name, the church said,
Amen.
Amen. We're going to get started with praise and worship this morning. I'm going to do my best. I am no singer by no means. So I'm going to need everybody's help as much as I can. I try to pick as familiar songs as we can know, because we don't have a projector or a computer this morning. So if you don't know them, they're kind of repetitious, so you pick up on them pretty quick. So first song is Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. So. Praise the Lord. This time we're going to go to the Lord in an offering. Our plates are still in the back. Just a friendly reminder, if you haven't, you can before the service is over. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as well. So if anybody has an outspoken request this morning, something you'd like to bring before the body, uplifted hands, special needs, lost loved ones, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time and opportunity it is to be in your house, Lord God. And Father, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing and going to do in our lives this morning, Lord God. We just ask that you would show yourself strong on behalf of each and every request this morning. Minister mightily, Lord God, that testimony would be given, Lord God, how you moved on behalf of each and every one here, Lord. We thank you for those that are here and those that couldn't be here, that you would keep a hand on them as well. Protect, bless, lift up, nourish, Father, and show yourself strong in their lives. And Father, we'll thank you for everything that's said and done. Now be with us in the remainder of this service today as we bring forth more praise and worship in your word. Anoint the hearts, and Father, anoint us to speak and do, Father, in your name. And we'll thank you for everything that's said and done. In Christ Jesus' name, the church said,
Amen.
Amen. One more, I promise. Now, if I'm not singing on key, hey, if you can pick that out, then you're in the wrong place. You need to be up here. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing this morning?
Blessed.
And I'm sorry y'all had to endure that.
It's a
pleasure. You're too nice. I appreciate it, though.
I think you've done real good.
Hey, that's my best friend right there. If friends ain't honest with you, then they ain't your friends. Amen. Now, Pastor David approached me a couple weeks ago, and I just want to thank him and Sister Linda for the opportunity. Put a lot of trust in me to be able to stand in for him today. It is an honor and a privilege, and I just want to thank him and thank the Lord for the opportunity. I told the Lord a long time ago, never got the opportunity to speak, I'd never say no, so he gave me the opportunity, and here we are. So just bear with me this morning. It's been a while, but we're going to try and do the best we can. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you care to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, we'll go ahead and get started. If you came this morning looking for Pastor David, you're disappointed. If you came looking for Brother DC and Sierra and their wonderful singing, you're going to be disappointed because they're not here either. But if you came looking for God, He's always here. And that's not because I'm here. If you came looking for Brandon, you're going to be disappointed too. There's only so much a man can do, but God can do all things.
Lord, yes.
When you have found that, please stand with me for the reading. Matthew 26, we're going to start at verse number 6. And while I was bumping my gums, I didn't turn there either. So, very, very common story. I think Pastor David recently did a sermon not too long ago about this. But I couldn't get away with it. When he asked me to do it, this thought came to my mind, or this passage, and I just couldn't get away from it. So it reads like this in the King James Version. Everybody there?
Amen.
It says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wherever so over this gospel shall be preached, in the whole world there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Verse number 14. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and he said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he saw opportunity to betray him." And we're going to stop right there for now. I really didn't have a title, but I had a question that kept coming to mind. And you may be seated. I had a question that came to my mind. Why do people really serve God? Why? And that's where this story comes from. You know, did you know that this passage or this event that happened is mentioned 4 times in the Bible? Every gospel mentions this scripture. Every one of them. Now, if you didn't know that, and you don't know, when you see something over and over again in the Bible, repetition, that means God's trying to get a point through our thick skull. This event right here. I mean, the only thing that I can think of that was mentioned more is the actual crucifixion, risen, and death of Christ. I mean, 4 times this small story. Now, I'm a great theologian like Pastor David. I'm not going to give you the definition of everything. I'm not as deep like that. He could probably dissect it and give it to you a lot better than I could, but I want to focus on 3 people this morning in this story. And we're going to bounce in and forth to all 3 of these. And I just want you to keep that question in mind, because I think these 3 people represent the 3 modern characters of modern Christianity. And the first person that I'd like to think about is Simon. The Bible lists him right here in Matthew 26. It says, Simon was a leper, but did you also know he's a Pharisee? Simon is the host of the house. And his Christian character this morning is religion. Legalism. And I'm going to explain why. If you'll turn with me, keeping your finger at Matthew 26, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 7. I'll explain a little bit detail. Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." It's saying the host, Simon. You say, "Well, brother, how do you know that's Simon?" It says the Pharisee hosting. So, well, Matthew said it was Simon was the host, right? Well, okay, here we go. And Jesus answered him, verse number 40, and said unto them, Simon, it's the same person, right? Same person. He's a Pharisee and a leper, and he's casting judgment on this woman. And I think that's the thing with religion and people that stay involved in the church. We lose grip and reality of what's actually in the real world and what people go through. We so focused on right and wrong. Now, I'm not making light of sin or right and wrong. I know there's no place in it. Paul told us that just because we have salvation through Christ and the blood and redemption, are we allowed to sin? No, God forbid. But the whole point is, it's not the foundation. We got to hold on to what the foundation of what all of it is. And Simon Peter, Simon the Pharisee, he wanted for all of him, he just wanted the recognition that, hey, I want the association with Christ, but I really don't want to be him. I want to sit with him. I want people to see me with him. I want them to think that I'm with him, but I really don't want to be him. Because look at his whole attitude was, look at this man. If he was really a man of God, why would he let this woman even touch him? But let's see how Jesus responds to Simon. Verse 40, he says, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." He said, "Master, say on." Now there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." He said, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, gavest me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." I don't know, man. I think so many Christian characteristics today is we want the association of who God is, but when it comes actually down to doing the deed, wait a minute. This guy left all Jewish customs that he was supposed to practice when he had a guest in his house. He's supposed to wash their feet when they come in. He's supposed to give them a kiss. He's supposed to anoint their head with oil and make them feel welcome. He didn't even give Jesus that even gratitude. He said, "Come on in, sit down so that people can see you come in my house and be my friend so I'm associated with you." But the actual practicing of it, some of these characteristics. Now, are you saying this man doesn't have any association with Christ? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, being careful of the character that we are. It's much deeper than we realize, but it's a lot simpler than we realize, too. We want to make it harder than it is. Moving right along. Second person. Back at Matthew. Judas Iscariot. Pastor David said something very interesting about that last week. He said, I think it was a Mighty Army text. He says, living, it's not, being a Christian isn't loving Jesus, but loving Judas. You know, I think Judas was actually one of the smartest disciples. I think he listened better than the rest of them. Because he figured out the secret before the rest of them did. Let me read it short to you. We'll start at verse number 13 in Matthew 26. It says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel..." Oh, look, I'm sorry. Verse 12. Let me back up one more. I'm getting ahead of myself. It says, "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wherever so this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done, behold, for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted him with 30 pieces of silver." He figured it out before all the other disciples did. See, Judas was all about the benefits, the prestige. If I asked you rhetorically, why did you want to start serving God? I'll tell you why I wanted to start serving. I want to go to heaven. I want the benefit. But oh man, when you meet Him, when you meet God, it's a whole different ballgame then. We're not talking about just serving to be serving, anything like that. What's John? I'll read it in a minute. It just hit me in the mind. But when we're talking about when the commandments aren't grievous to us anymore, but you understand why, because you know in the book of Proverbs when it says, good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. It says when you develop that relationship with God, you realize it's not about the benefits no more. But Judas never developed it. He was just so focused on the benefits of it, because see, you got to understand, when they're all these Jews, they thought the Messiah was coming to establish Israel, the kingdom. He's going to put me in a palace. I'm going to sit on His council. I'm going to have the finest clothes. I'm going to have all the power. People are going to look at me with respect. They're going to see who I am. I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to have it all. But Judas figured out right then, at that moment, now's the time. This man ain't going to make it to no kingdom. He just said he's going to die. All this stuff about him being betrayed, him and all this being crucified and dying, that's going to come to pass. He figured it out before the other disciples did. Wasn't it Peter, after Jesus confronted him in Matthew 16, he told him, he said, guys, now that we've gotten to this point, I'm letting you know right now that I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be brought up before the Pharisees and scribes for trial. They're going to sentence me to death. I'm going to die. And Peter grabbed him and said, God forbid this should happen to thee, Lord. And what did he say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. Y'all thinkest of the things of man, not the things of God. We get so caught up with the benefits of God that when the benefits don't happen, what happens? What can I get? Oh, God's not giving me what I want today. He's not answering my prayer in the manner that I think it should. We give up. We quit. I'll just go get comfort someplace else. I'll stop. If I'm not going to get what I thought that I was going to get out of this deal, I'll just go somewhere else and get it. Go ahead and throw it if you want to. Hey, guilty right here. Any message that I give to myself first. Life is hard. The Bible says in Matthew 5 that He causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, and he brings rain on the just and the unjust alike. He said, it doesn't matter who we are, what we decide to do. If we're serving God, whether we're not serving God, life is harder than general. But when we throw in the consequence of sin on our own decisions, guess what? Life's getting harder. 1 Peter 3:12. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope, as in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they do speak evil much of you as evildoers, but they may be ashamed and falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. This is it. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. He says, it's one thing to suffer in the name of God when you're doing everything, but he says, when you suffer at evil-doing, oh, then your conscience is going to work on you. Then Satan's going to drive that nail. Look, if you were worth something, you wouldn't have done that. You know you're better than that. He says, because that's when the real suffering is. Not only do you got to pay for the consequence of the action, but you got to live with it too, in your spirit and in your mind. So he says, it's better, if you're going to suffer, it's better that you suffer in the name of Christ's sake. You know, Judas's condition was a lot worse than before he even met God. And ain't what the scripture said? He said, you clean the house, you get it nice and prepped. He said, but you depart, and then seven other spirits come back to it, and you get away from it. Judas, when he betrayed God, he said it worked on his conscience so bad that he had to go out and hang himself. When we think that God isn't going to give us exactly what we think is right, that's when it's time to check ourselves. Am I lining up with what God wants for my life? That's time to ask questions. Because within religion, with that, it's better to be curious than it is to be judgmental about those things. It's better to ask those things and say, okay, God, it's not going the way I think it is. What would you have me do? What would be the route that you would have for me in this place? Judas walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, saw his ministry, saw the miracles, went out with the 2x2 on his own, did great things in his name. Jesus said, I don't care how many works you did. Do you know me? Do you care about me? He walked away from it. If we're not serving God for the benefits or for the association or for the religious, why would we serve God then? For the relationship. Which brings us to person number 3. Mary. She just summed it up, man. Summed it up so easily, so beautifully. That's why I think this story is mentioned 4 times. Oh, I say story, event. It's not a story. Stories might have happened, events did happen. I don't know what in the world Jesus forgave her. I don't know, man. I couldn't find it. I looked. I thought maybe it was the adultery, the woman caught in adultery, you know. I tried to tie it to that. Maybe it was the woman in Samaria at the well. You know? I don't know what he forgave her. But her passion and love for him was just so great that she bypassed everything. She bypassed judgment of other people upon her. She bypassed humiliation by getting down on her hands and knees to this man's feet. She bypassed all of that. She did not care
She loved that man. Has anybody ever done something? Just think of a normal human being in your life that you just, if I mention their name, admiration and respect just come to you. Or you're just like, man, yeah, I think the world. You know, whatever they did, it could have been something minute, small, but they made such an impact on your life that you hold them. How imperfect they may be to other people, how they may see them, may not amount to anything, but you look at them with a different eye. She looked at Jesus with that eye of, hey man, I love this man. I love the things that he did. I love the Messiah. I don't know. She was in twain and thought with the process, man. That's all that God wants out of us. That's all that the creation process was before. He had plenty of people that will serve him, but he had few that will love him. None. That's why we're here. It seems like every time she's mentioned in the Bible, she's always doing it. Lazarus. Martha come to him. God, if he had just been here. Mary came. Lord, if you were here, I know you could have done it. Her attitude was different. Or in Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. I like this story as well. Or event, excuse me. I'm going to have to fix myself on that. Luke 10 and 38. It says, now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village and received. And a certain woman there named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The man walks into the room, everything stops. I got to go sit at his feet. I got to go hear what he's got to say. Why are you telling me all this, brother? You know, I know what I am. I'm nobody of great authority or power. I'm just telling you what's been told to me. I said, Brandon, you need to check on why you're serving me. Because we're getting to some crazy times. And if you'd have asked me 15 years ago, what's going on nowadays, that'll never happen. We'll never let it happen. Shoot, it's happening. It's happening in the churches now. What? The veil's being pulled down. Ignorance is being seen. We're not studying God anymore. We're not developing a relationship with God. We're getting comfortable. And I'm sorry, the Word of God has never been a book of comfort. It's always been a book of direction.
Yep.
If it's making you feel comfortable, guess what? Not reading the right stuff, man. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None are righteous. No, not one. I just want to point to the fact that, hey, look, man, we've got to get on the path of that. Look, we're not in it for the benefits. We're not in it for the religion. We're not in it for anything other than the relationship. Are you saying those things aren't important, brother? No, I'm saying they are very important. But what I'm saying is they're not the foundation of your walk with God. He said in, what's that, Corinthians 13, he said, hey, look, man, if you have all these things and you don't have love, the love of God, then all of it's in waste. He said, many great people are going to come before my name and say, Lord, I did this. Lord, I did that. And all in your name. And I heard a preacher one time, short video. He said he had died. And and he had went to heaven, and he did exactly that. I was a preacher for 45 years. When I stood before God, he said, I don't know you. He said, but God, I preached words. I held revivals, camp meetings. He said, yeah, but do you know me? Do you know me? Mary, when she got up in the morning, she thought about Jesus. She went to bed at night. She talked to Jesus. He entered into a room. That was the most important thing. Charles Stanley used to say the most important thing in your Christian walk is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think that it's very critical in this time that we need to put that to the forefront. Everything else is circumstantial. But our heart for God needs to be there. I'm not saying they're not important. They're very important. I think we lose focus on what it is. We come to church, we don't get the response, or we get the things that we think. One asked me the other day, said, how the church is going. I said, we've got small numbers. A lot of people have left and done things. It's just, wow. Were they just not happy? I said, well, if the church is unhappy, guess what? It's not the building. It's not the building that makes a person happy. We are the church.
Amen.
If you're unhappy about something, if you want things to change, you're the church. I'm the church. We've got to make them change. We've got to put it in perspective. We've got to get the relationship right. We've got to get the soul right. We've got to do it. We can't count on the preacher to get our relationship right with God. We can't count on the praise team to do it. You can't count on nobody in this pew to do it but us. And when we bring that together collectively, that's when things start to change. When the Spirit of God, John the Baptist was in the wilderness. He didn't have a church. They came to see him. If something's amiss in the body, it starts with us, saints. Guilty. I'm guilty of falling in a routine. I'm guilty of being frustrated. Guilty of being hurt by people and their response. But the only response that we should be looking for is our response from the Father. How are you pleased with me? I think the Scripture says, Hebrews chapter 11, that Enoch pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. At any rate. One last thing, and then I'm closing. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans this week. He's about the only mega church preacher I'll listen to. He's out of Texas. He was talking about cruise ships versus battleships. And I think the modern church today is on cruise ships. We grab our luggage, we get on. My room's dirty. We start complaining about the conditions. We just sit at the buffet, sit at the pool. How many's been on a battleship? I never have. But every person on a battleship has to work. There's no free rides on a battleship. You get to eat, you get to sleep, but you're on that ship for war. And I thought that was the greatest analogy. We're treating churches like cruise ships. We're getting on churches like it's a cruise ship, not realizing that when we come to this place, we have a job to do. We're going to war. And we lose sight of that sometimes. That ship doesn't function properly unless everybody's on it, doing their job. Saints, we're on a battleship. there's something to be done. That was one thing that used to get my goat. People come up to me, Brother Brandon, you know what you would be good at? Man, you'd be good at this. I'd say, see a need, fill a need. You see a need, but you want me to go take care of it. Okay, thanks, brother. I appreciate that. All the while. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a battleship.
Amen, brother.
We got to get to work. Amen. Three characters of the Christian walk. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you have a need in your life and you want to pray, you want somebody to pray with you, these altars are open. I'll pray with you. If there's something you want to deal with this morning, we can deal with it right here. No better place. There is benefits to serving God. There is. But we shouldn't live for the benefits. We should live for the God. Father, right now, I ask you to touch each and every one here this morning. They took time to come be with you, sit at your feet like Mary did. And I ask you to remember them, Lord. I ask you to touch them in a powerful way. Father, let the Scripture go forth and draw us closer unto you. Bring forth change into our lives. Help us to be like Mary. That's the story you drove home to each and every one of us this morning. And Father, we just need to restore that in every aspect of our lives. Seek you first in all things. Father, and righteousness will follow. Father, we thank you for everything that was done this morning, every scripture that came forth. We thank you for everyone here, Lord God. And we just ask you to minister mightily. If there's needs in their lives, supply them according to your riches and glory. And let testimony be given, Father. Touch in a powerful way, Lord God, that when we depart, Lord God, we go into that world, we make that impact. Let it echo in our minds. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Help us to daily seek you in every aspect of our lives and every chance we get, Lord God, to grow stronger in you. Father, you are the answer. I don't have the answer. I don't have all the tools, God. It's what a man can't do and what a man can do, Father. And what I can do is but so much, but you are unlimited, Lord God. And we just ask that you to go forth and touch each and every life, Lord God, not only in our lives, but in those around us, Lord God. Because iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And Father, help us to sharpen those out there. We'll thank you for everything that's said in us. In Christ Jesus' name, the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll get out early today. Thank you for everyone that took time. It was a blessing unto me, and I was hoping it was I know it was a blessing unto God. All hearts and minds clear this morning. Well, we're going to ask Brother Doug if he would close us out in prayer. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer first. And brother, if we're complete, if you don't mind, let's all stand. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for bringing Brandon among us and giving him your word to give to us. Father, help us to remember that it's not always what we think we're doing, but that it is our relationship that we can have more than anything else. Let us share your love with others. Let us do it from our heart and not for our benefit. Be with those that were not able to be here today. Lord, we pray that you would heal those that are sick, comfort those that are in need, and be careful mercies for those that are on the road. I ask you to bring us back to the next appointed time.